All of that is the false consciousness which divides his garment, which accepts a second life, and because of it accepts second powers. We're pulling in all the loose fragments of our belief, and we're stepping out of the universal misconception into the unconditioned reality of existence. After a while, it gets to be a great release. There was a chap named Elijah, and when all of his world seemed dark, when he was out in the wilderness, having been expelled by his own Hebrew brothers, the voice in the wilderness said, "Never fear, there are 7,000 who have not bowed to Baal." Even in that blackest hour, his Christ consciousness revealed that for him there was a place. That the truth in him would have 7,000 who would be waiting for him to receive that truth. And this was telling us that no matter how black it may ever be, for us there are always 7,000 waiting who have not bowed their knees to Baal. That the Father has always prepared a place where his will in us for perfection is being fulfilled. No matter what we may see or think out of a false consciousness, there is a place where you are in the perfect fulfillment of the Father's will. That is the meaning of the 7,000. It also came to Elisha, who was the only real developed student of Elijah. When the servant was wondering, what are we going to do? We're surrounded. Just like Hezekiah had said, they have only the arm of flesh. He quietly knew the truth. And knowing the truth in order to make it visible to us is recorded as a prayer in the book of Kings, in which he said to the Father, "Make the blind see." And then lo and behold, his Christ consciousness revealed itself to the servant as all of the atmosphere alive with warriors on horses. Why? Because Christ consciousness reveals that there is no need for us to walk through this world in fear as we realize that Melchizedek is only a name, that it represents an activity in consciousness that Christ is a name that represents an activity in consciousness. You must realize, too, that an activity in consciousness generated in you becomes the law of perfect being. This activity in consciousness is different than a thinking, rational, logical, intelligent human being. This activity in consciousness is not on page 163 in the Bible or another page in Joel's works. And you cannot substitute your reading for this activity. Generate this activity while you continue in the sense mind. Now, this world that we're in is a world of thought. And unless you have made the carryover, you do not associate thought and sensation as being one and the same, which they are. You say it hurts. But that's a thought. It's also a sensation. In order for you to be aware of that sensation, you must have a connection between something that appears on your body or outside of your body and your brain. And that sensation becomes your thought, which you register as pain. But that's only your thought. It isn't God's thought. It's the thought of the consciousness that is unreal. Now, what difference does it make if you read 500 more books and still go on under the belief that your sensations, your thoughts, represent something that is real? They do not. The only reality is God's thought. And it has nothing to do with your sensations. Now, when you look out with your eye, everything that you see represents thought. The only reason you see it, well, more comfortable, but ultimately the chair will not support you, or you won't be fit to sit in the chair, because the lie ultimately will show forth as a thought form not under the protection of God. The activity in consciousness, which releases the security that is built into your being, is that activity called spiritual consciousness. And you cannot have it and material consciousness too. The path of truth. And in Hebrews, he felt he had to tell them about this Melchizedek. We have the advantage today of knowing what he was trying to tell them, which they didn't know. He was standing in front of his students and saying, I'd like to tell you that you've never been born, but I don't know how to say it. And so look at this fellow Melchizedek. And he was saying, there'll be some among you who will catch what I'm saying, and there will be some among you who will not. And so he said, there was a priest. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. Now this is a mistranslation of the word Jesus, and they translate it as Christ. It should read, So Jesus glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And he that said unto Jesus, Thou art my son, this is the voice of the Father speaking through the Christ. So Jesus now was aware that he was not a high priest, but that the Spirit of God in him was the high priest. That which said, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. That was the high priest. In other words, the high priest of your being is the Christ of you, just as that was the high priest of Jesus. Now follow this priest. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham, returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being, by interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. And so he is breaking the news to his people that there is a continuous priest without any line of descent, without mother or father, which is the substance of each of us, our reality. And he's using Melchizedek to explain that our reality is never born and never dies. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. In other words, Abraham had tithed outwardly as an acknowledgement of the inner Christ, which is never born and never dies. Abraham had become aware of the self, that is, the self of God individualized as the self of every person on the earth. And the token of tithe was the recognition of that one self individualized as you and me, which is here called Melchizedek, the high priest. Now he tells that the Hebrews had a priest named Levi, but if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. And so he's revealing now that this was more than a priest, this Melchizedek. They had their priests. Why did they need a Melchizedek? There was now a change coming into consciousness. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. They were worshiping the externals, and there was no one to be aware of the inner Christ. At the altar there was no one worshiping the inner self. Melchizedek was the outer appearance of that inner self, just as Jesus became the outer appearance of the Christ. And you may now know by now that Jesus is the reincarnation of Melchizedek. It is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest, who is made not after the law of carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. After the power of an endless life. Now, never is there a law in God that is not universal. And this is the revelation that each man is made after the power of an endless life. It is a law that must be observed and accepted before it can manifest its power in you. Now you will find it easier to accept the law of an endless life than you will to continue to accept the law of a life that can be terminated. You will find it much easier and much more pleasurable. And when you accept the law of an endless life, you must realize that every threat of destruction to that life is obviously a lie. It cannot succeed because we are all created of that one endless life. And so universal fear should hit your consciousness, which says, no, I am the church of God. I am the living church of God. My consciousness of the endless life, which is Christ, which appeared once as Melchizedek and another time as Jesus, but has always been the self of each individual, this is the endless life that I accept. This is the permanent, indestructible church of God in me. This is my kingdom within, my life. And as I accept that, I know what Paul meant. That mortality must be swallowed up in life. The concept of mortality is dissolved in the acceptance that I am that endless life. And all the fears that I have about my life are groundless, because the fears that I had were not about this endless life. The fears were about a life that is not this endless life, and there is no other. There is only this endless life. And every fear about another life is about a life that has no existence except in the thought, in the sensations of a sense mind. Blessed are the pure at heart, those who have come to an understanding that the endless life of God being the only, it is my life, and I need never fear any power in the universe, regardless of its nature, because any power in the universe is powerless against that one life of God that must and is my life. It must be my life because there is no other. And Paul had caught this, but could not fully divulge in public, in print, that because you are the endless life, birth is an illusion as well as death. Beginning is an illusion as well as end. And it's no point to try to read it further in a book. It must be taken into consciousness. It must be rested in. You must dwell in that awareness that you were really not born. Because this is the great secret behind the complete revelation of Jesus on this earth. His revelation that he was not born made possible all that he demonstrated. For it was not demonstrated by one who was born, it was demonstrated by one who knew that he was the one life that has no birth and no death. And in that demonstration, if you believe on me, if you too know that you are the one life that is never born and never dying, greater works shall ye do. Because it is only the fear of the world in us that shows outwardly as the conditions that we suffer. stand up to the fear, dissolve it by accepting truth in consciousness, and you will find the truth that you work with dissolves the false consciousness in which the fear exists, and you will walk free in the real freedom, in the real success, in the real life, finding that temple not made with hands, that temple, that physical structure which was not formed in the womb, that life which is independent of all forms in this world, that life which can look at a bomb and not see it or feel it or be touched by it. And as you, in consciousness, accept that life is made into your tangible experience, so that even your tangible experience is not subject to the physical powers of this world. So that even your tangible form cannot be encased in a tomb. This is why they walked out of this world with their bodies. They had discovered the secret that I am the endless life, and had then gone right into consciousness with that truth and wrestled there with it until they had it and made it their own. No, I have not been born. I have not grown up. Before Abraham was, I am. I am the temple, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, the beginning and the end. And this I is the emanation, the essence, the law, the activity, the life, the being, the one. Once you have crossed that barrier, so that you can begin to feel not so awkward about not having been born, you'll begin to see that the belief in birth has anchored the universal consciousness of man to death, and to destruction, and to disease. That we have tried to bring comfort and peace to a false, limited lifespan. We have worked on the surface of the physical effect instead of getting into the seed that grows. We have scoured the edges and let the center die. At first, the shock hits the conditioned mind, but as the conditioned mind slowly dissolves, the good common sense of not having been born begins to hit you even harder than the first shock of it did. And you realize, of course, what kind of a God would we have had to have pushed all these atrocities into birth and then to send them out to be shot and killed, and to kill people they don't even know, who in turn came through the same process. We have accepted all this nonsense as if it really were happening. We have not caught this world as the images of the false consciousness. And right where those images are is the living, invisible Christ, a very real Christ, an infinite Christ, functioning in infinite variety, in infinite perfection. Once I am free of this limiting belief in a body that must grow up to die, I am freeing God from that murder which each human consciousness has imposed upon the Father from the beginning. I am out of the Adam and Eve hypnosis. I am out of the hypnosis of the Adam and Eve consciousness which has imprisoned this world. I am stepping out of the second and third chapters into the first, where all is perfection unto eternity, where everything is so perfect that the Father rests, where there is no death, where there is only spiritual life. And I find it's rather comfortable. I'm not imprisoned inside of a mess of bones. The infinity of the Father can never be finite. And slowly we discover that the message of Jesus is becoming a living message in us. We are learning about walking on water. We are learning that there is a self that is not bound down by the material laws. We are learning that all material laws are simply the false beliefs of the human consciousness. We are breaking the fetters. We are rising out of the tomb, which says we are born, we live, and we die. We are coming to the higher dimension of reality, where the conditioned mind wields no power, into the unconditioned realm of truth. For God is ever unconditioned, and God is all. We are in our unconditioned universe, slowly beginning to be aware that that is all there can ever be. A universe without degrees, without conditions, without ups and downs, without good and bad. We are dropping these concepts. And we are finding the people we worry about were never born. They were always the pure consciousness of God. And through a limited world consciousness, a limited human consciousness, they pictured forth as a limited form to be born to die. No reality in truth. We begin to see that this world now is a fraction showing forth as a promise of the full wholeness that is ever present. And we hear the words, "What did hinder thee? Wilt thou be made whole? Open thine eyes. Awake thou that sleepest. You are made of that life which is without end. That substance which is without any degree of imperfection. And as you witness it, you are the one who is a majority with God." Now we said originally that this year would be the year in which we come into the understanding of how to take dominion over form, over matter, and over mind. That dominion is already in your Christ self. And as you lay down these tissues of thought and become the transparency through which the Christ mind does function, that dominion expresses itself. The second mind removed, the only mind, shows forth it does already have dominion over everything on land, sea, and air. The dominion is completed, waiting to be expressed by anyone who wishes to step out of the false, rejecting it, accepting only the true. And instead of doing it through fractions, through pieces, we have now come to that place where we can look at ourselves and say, if this was born and is me, then there's really no hope for the world. Because whatever will be born will always die and always suffer in between. And the complete message of the Christ of never having been born being the true original substance of God, never having been changed from that, that will have been lost again for who knows how many thousands of years. But it isn't going to be lost, because it is firmly planted now in quite a number of us, in various parts of the world. Those who know that Christ on earth in me is the reality of God expressing. And that church of God, that is the original church of God, which does not divide itself into sects or fractions or colors or nations, but is the one self-expressing everywhere now. And to that we bear witness. That is the truth we have come to earth individually to bear witness to. And as we do it, we glorify the Father in us. You can't do any more, and you can't really do any less. It is the will of the Father that you bear witness to the Christ in yourself and your neighbor as the endless life of God on earth as it is in heaven. We can do this. We can do it every day of our lives until it does it through us as we step aside and let it live itself without a second mind playing traffic cop. Now we're coming close then to targeting the unconditioned mind as the one mind without opposite, ever preserving its perpetual perfection on earth as it is in heaven. We are not setting up the belief in separate powers that can in any way stand and oppose the only mind there is. As you accept this present perfection, you have caught omnipotence and omnipresence and omniscience as the fact, and therefore what is opposite to that fact is not a fact, but as a pretender, a liar, a deceiver, an antichrist without reality. Please take into your meditations the consequences of I was not born. To each of us, it will come in a different way. And as you do that, many of the false things that we have taken for granted will be revealed to you as foolish, unreal, not even there, merely supposed. And you will find you are much freer than you ever realized. And then you can test this new truth in any way you wish. Ultimately, you will have established contact with the infinite mind. And in that moment, your real freedom begins. As the infinite mind takes over, directing you, you will see why it was necessary to know that I have never been born. I am the Spirit. And in that knowledge, we begin what is called a reborning out of what we thought we had been born into. We're removing more onion skins. Finally, we see gravity, the forces of nature, all of these things that seem so positive as powers are not a power over my spirit. My spirit isn't riding down Main Street. My spirit needs no defense against a bomb. My spirit is God itself. And you let that take you home. My spirit and the Father's spirit are one and the same. My endless life and the Father's life are one life. Whom and what shall I fear? Ever. And then come out of the positive side of that with the action that follows the knowledge of truth. Don't stop with just the knowing it. If you stop with the knowing of it, you still haven't got it. Because truth is action. Truth will live itself. And unless you find the action taking place, you haven't found the truth. First the truth, and then the activity of truth are automatic. And when you feel the activity of truth, the action of truth, you'll know you've got truth. And everything else will step aside. For truth is never opposed. Never opposed, because there is nothing else that can oppose it. Only truth exists. It is the form which can never be touched by the material world. Nothing takes place outside of your human consciousness. It only takes place in it and seems to be outside. But truth, spirit, reality, frees you from the beliefs of the human consciousness and ultimately dissolves the false appearances which have been the problems you have experienced. God is present. God's power is present. Only God's power is present, and this must become the consciousness of the presence of God's perfect power here now, invisibly manifest, waiting for me to accept as a witness. I don't know what a rose is, a rose is, a rose is about yet, but that's next week's chapter. And I presume it will give us an opportunity to go beyond into a deeper realization of the unconditioned mind. I'm very happy about the fact that Chinese New Year wasn't quite an interference, although I thought at first that we were going to have a real test of the unconditioned mind. It didn't test us. So thank you again. Thanks very much.